Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is the fabulous Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
This is a very special episode of Buzzing About Romance.
That it is.
Today kicks off season 5.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, we have crazy. 4 years of podcast in the archives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting, but also kind of unbelievable that it's been that long.
Right? Sydney's like, I said earlier to her, I said, hey, I said, isn't it awesome? Tonight's we're celebrating 4 years and moving into season 5. And she's like, yeah, you've been really happy. I was like, I have been. And she's like, no, you've been really happy.
Well, that's nice that she sees the this has brought you joy.
This really has brought me joy. And this was one of those, this is a passion project that has been way more than I ever thought it would be. I always felt like if I got one listener, then it was cool. It. Yeah. Was and as long it. As the listener wasn't my mom.
But Lynn counts.
She counts.
So two listeners.
Anyway, welcome everybody. If this is your first time joining us, make sure you give us a hey in the chat. If you have comments or questions throughout the night, we'll be pulling from those as we go. Jenny is moderating us in the chat, and then Leah and I are here live. So like I said, we are excited to be here with you today as we celebrate the 4th anniversary of Buzzing About Romance and the start of season 5.
5th anniversary, not the 4th
anniversary. No, this is only our 4th anniversary.
Oh, we're starting year 5.
We're okay, starting right. Season 5.
You're right.
Because we started June 25th of 2020 was the drop of our first episode. And when we dropped, we did 3 consecutive episodes in a couple of days in manner, because, you know, you're always supposed to start with a couple of
with a bang.
So this has been 4 incredible years of chatting about all the things romance with our amazing listeners. It's been an amazing journey for book reviews, author interviews, to our themed episode, trope talks, and book recommendations. We've covered so much and had so much fun along the way. But we couldn't have done it without all of you, our wonderful listeners, and my amazing contributors. Your support and engagement have been the driving force behind everything we do. And that is something that we often talk about, but we don't really talk about it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The audience drives so much of what we do.
Mm-hmm. They really do. From topics to authors that we pick up and authors that we interview, and sometimes our bookish chat episodes or the bookish gripes episodes, it's stuff that we've talked about in the Discord and we're like, hey, we should just make an episode about that.
Well, right. Or somebody will send us a DM and say, hey, have you checked out this author? And we'll be like, no, but we will. And then the next thing you know, I'm having, I'm obsessed with Carrie Elks or, yeah. Someone will say, hey, did you see this happening in the book world? And I'll be like, nope, didn't catch that. Go down the rabbit hole to find out what's happening. And then it's like, we should talk about this. One of the big ones, people kept asking questions about how these distribution deals and how sub-rights work.
Yeah.
Well, Leah and I kind of know because we're on the outskirts of publishing as far as some of our work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really deep dive into it until Jen Ellen started asking us she was just really curious about how all of that works. And we did the interview with Stephanie from SBR Media and were able to answer some of those questions as to why a UK publishing deal is different than a US publishing deal and how it matters that they now have the UK translation.
The nuances of publishing, indie traditional, how you can still have a deal with some European countries, but still be considered indie because it's technically not a publishing deal, but it is. And it's kind of help explain the confusion that comes along with all of it.
One of the things that I've noticed over the years that we've been doing this is there's so much shrouded in secrecy in romance and publishing in general.
I mean, there is a lot, But everybody finds everything out eventually.
Everything comes out eventually. Yes, Susie, we end up with the Summer of Salmon, which was a pretty good summer to be along for. So to celebrate this milestone, we're doing something a little different today. This episode is all about you, our listeners. We've asked you to send in your questions for an AMA, Ask Me Anything style episode, and we can't wait to dive in and answer them. So grab your favorite beverage, get cozy, and join us as we celebrate 4 years of buzzing about romance with a special AMA episode. Let's get buzzing. Funny?
I like that.
Did you like that?
I did like that.
Okay, so four notes. One, the podcast started with a different name.
Yes.
Those episodes are no longer available in the podcast feed. You can find them on our website. Originally, I started the podcast in the summer of 2020. I had a different co-host, and we kind of had a different setup, and it was called Drinks with the Bees. But that my former co-host, her life kind of changed, and where the direction I wanted to go in the podcast was not necessarily the direction they wanted to go. So, broke ties. Because change, I am never shying away from change, as we all know. And then I begged Leah.
There wasn't a lot of begging that happened, but
So when we broke and we did the new name change, it was Leah and Heather, Lindsay, Carolina, and Rachel at that time that we kind of started working. We did quick shots. Lee and I mostly hosted the Sunday episodes without too much of the contributors coming in. And then again, we kind of felt like Leah's life was getting busy. And an every Sunday commitment for her was a little bit more complicated.
Well, and like all the quick shots, and it just schedules kind of exploded because my kids got a little bit older and
The
things
world started to
happened.
open
And
up.
that's the thing, like the world started opening up and there were, it was a little more complicated, so we adapted.
We did adapt and we saw more hosts coming in and out. We kind of calmed down a little bit on author interviews just because we had so many books and tropes and nuances, like you said, that we wanted to kind of dive into, that a whole episode on one author just wasn't working.
Right. Well, and
So
it's never a bad thing to change something when it's not fulfilling you in
yeah,
the way that you want it to.
right. And then we were doing two quick shots, and we realized that there are some books that we read that we really want to like dig deep on and spoil them or talk about what didn't work or what do we mean by the pacing of the book, what didn't work. So earlier this year, we changed that in May and started our Wednesday book club styling episodes that we kind of nicknamed our Sip and Discuss.
Well, and even changing the format to just a recorded episode to a live episode, because, like,
I think that's been the most
again,
fun.
it really has been like I was a little like, how is this gonna work? Because these people don't get to see a lot of the chaos that happens, like when we're recording, which we'd never really cut a lot out, but every once in a while, like,
Yeah.
things were cut. But it's like when you do it this way, like, you guys get to get unfiltered chaos every week.
Every week. I
But it's
do.
been a lot of fun.
I think the live, changing to the live has been one of the best parts. Okay, so total episodes as of today, we're recording our 568th episode. So in the stream right now are 567. Today marks 568. That includes all Sunday episodes, quick shots, special edition episodes, because I did do the special edition with Julie Garwood when she passed. So that's all of those. It is a total 519 hours and 45 minutes of podcast. That does not include our happy hours or should you read it or buzzing after darks or the quick shots that are now over on Patreon.
Patreon. It's a lot of time listening to us talk.
It is, and I just am like, okay, that's so awesome. We have featured over 400 different romance authors. And we have recommended hundreds, if not thousands, of books over the last 4 years.
It's probably closer to 1,000.
It probably is over 1,000, but
Well, but we've done a lot of repeats.
We
So
do.
if you're
We
going
often
book
mention like
by
same
book,
books. Yeah.
like it could be just around 1,000, maybe 1,500, because like episode to episode, like especially like trope episodes, a lot of times like we'll repeat a book.
Yeah.
And but yeah, that's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books. I also believe we probably have added that many books, hundreds
This
and
year.
hundreds of books, to people's TBRs. And for
Oh,
that, we
well,
say,
you're welcome.
you're welcome. So we asked for questions, and you guys gave us some really great questions. So, first up, what is your most and least favorite episode?
So I actually don't have a least favorite episode. Like there are episodes I feel like they didn't flow as well, or we didn't have a good mesh with the author that we were interviewing. But overall, like there's nothing about any of the episodes that I can honestly say, like this was a chore to do. Like I've enjoyed doing each and every episode, and there's been good pieces of every episode that we've done.
I agree with you. I don't think I have a least favorite. Like you, there's a couple episodes when we were done, I was like, "Oh, we didn't really mesh with that author, or that didn't episode didn't go the way I thought it would." When we come into like a thing like a trope talk, we put a lot of time into
And
what
effort
trope we
and
want to
thought.
cover, and we dig through our Goodreads. Oftentimes, people don't know this, but a lot of times the Thursday, Friday before we record on a Sunday, I'll message the co-hosts that are assigned to that episode and I'll say, "Hey, are we all still working with this episode?" Because there's some, like to be honest, pregnancy has been floating for over 2 years now, maybe
Yeah,
even
and like
three.
we've talked about it and we've put it on the schedule. And then as we get closer, we're like, do we still want to talk about this? And we're like, maybe it's not, we're not ready for that yet. And
Yeah.
so we push it back.
Yeah, there's been a couple episodes that we kind of have like, and there's been some episode concepts that we've talked about, but we haven't been sure if that's just like 60 minutes of free advertising for one
Well,
specific author, or is that like, do people really
and there's
care?
Well, there's been a couple where we've talked about it, and it's like one of us is really into that, but the rest of us don't read it. So it's like we can't really focus on something where like only one of us is going to be talking most of the episode, which I mean, I'm sure that's fine, but at the same time, like you do not want to hear me talk for 60 minutes by myself. I mean,
Right.
maybe you do, but
Do you
I
have a
don't want to hear
favorite
myself
episode or a
talk.
favorite trope talk that we've?
So favorite episodes have been the Susan Stoker episode when I got to meet her and my
Oh,
Anna Hackett.
was that your first interaction with Susan?
I mean,
Like
not
outside
like,
of like DMs and social media stuff?
yeah,
Oh
that
my
was my
God.
first interaction with her outside of like sliding into her DMs like a creeper. And then the Anna Hackett episode where we got to meet her like on camera. So like those have been like a couple of my favorites just because like those are like my big like authors that I read a lot. And also Anna's from Australia. And it's like, how many times can you say I interviewed this author from Australia the other day?
And then this weekend, you got to meet
And then I
her.
got to meet her in person and she is even more delightful in
Tell
person.
everybody
And
about your meet cute moment with Anna, because it's a pretty cool meet cute.
okay, so Lindsay and I am Lindsay's tour guide for the book signing. We went to Knockout Book Bash over the weekend in Louisville. And so Lindsay and I were waiting in Anna Hackett's line and she's signing her books for like a reader who's in front of us. And Lindsay and I are standing there and Anna looks up and she looks at my face and she looks at my shirt. And then she looks back at my face. She's like, "Hi, Leah." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, she knows my name." Like I did not say that out loud, but in my head, I'm like, "She knows who I am." By just seeing me, I was like, this is like the moment where I'm like, I kind of made it. But then, no joke, Lindsay and I totally held the line up because we were talking to her and her husband for so long because he was freaking delightful as well. But yeah. But yeah,
Leah's she made it moment.
we had a moment and then, yeah, she was the sweetest human being, like meeting her in real life, which honestly, like all of the authors that like we met this weekend that I hadn't met in person were amazing.
I don't know that going to signings or anything, I've always had really great author interactions. There's not been an author that we've met at a signing or at an event, and I haven't been like, they're really great humans. But yeah, Anna Hackett. I mean, and also people, you all know we have so much fun when we chat with Melanie Moreland. Like,
yes,
I love talking with Melanie, right?
So funny story. So Karen, Melanie's PA, if anybody ever, I mean, most of you know who Karen is at this point. So Karen sends me an email like ages ago after the interview when Melanie found out Becky doesn't read epilogues. And she's like, so we have something in the works. I need to know Becky's t-shirt size. And I was like, okay, well, it's this. She's like, okay, we have a plan. And then she emails me again. She's like, so what colors, what is Becky's favorite color? I'm like, well, if she's wearing it, she likes a darker color. So Karen and Melanie made her a shirt. She's the reformed epilogue skipper. But then what, if you turn it around on the back, there's an ellipse and it says, still could have been a chapter.
Still could have been a chapter. I am. Yeah. She also has changed her whole marketing strategy. Did she has stickers now that say Melanie Moreland, queen of the epilogues. Epilogues are worth the read. Like, she has this whole mantra of stickers. And I have some that are coming to swag packs this fall. So be on the lookout for those. I will post a picture.
If you need to see the reaction to the t-shirt, we do have video because I went to Melanie ahead of time and Karen showed me the shirt and I was like, this is the best thing ever. And so then when they went to talk to Melanie, I was like, Jenny, you have to video this.
So we will post the video and a picture of the t-shirt and the back on our socials later tonight or first thing tomorrow. Yes. So that you all can see that because it was ridiculous, but God love her. She's so fun. And then we get to hang out with her.
We did get to hang out with her and she's like, she's super sweet in person. Again, like, it's one of those things where like, she is genuinely like the same, like chatty, delightful, beautiful person, like in person as she is like on video. So
she is just the absolute sweetest.
Yeah. And then just some of the trope talks were like, I could get to talk about the books that I really like. And sometimes when I make Rebecca read the bonkers books. You make me read bonkers books too.
I do. I will say, I think one of my favorite trope talk type episodes that we did, Jenny and I did, it was the rock star build a band episode. I really love doing that. I also love our I Licked Him First book boyfriend tours that we've done. Those have been really fun.
Well, in the girl crush episode, because like the heroines don't always get like the credibility and like the recognition that they deserve. Yeah. But so like the girl crush one and like the women's archetype, which we don't always talk about. Like, we always talk about like the men, like the book boyfriend, the protector, the alpha hole, the golden retriever, like those types of things. But we don't often give those to the females. And so that was a really fun episode to look at, especially like with Lindsay doing that. She gave us a totally different perspective on like the femme fatale.
Yeah.
And like the way that changed
how we look
that.
At those books.
Exactly.
And I also have to say that that's something that really came out of this podcast too. For us, for all of us, I think we challenged, I think Jenny challenges us, I think Hannah challenges us to show more love to the female archetypes, to, you know, hey, it's not just a book about a dude. Yeah. Don't hate on the heroines. And that's something the community has done as a whole. They've made me a better reader because they're like, hey, we don't need just, you know, contemporary hetero romances. Like, there's nothing wrong with queer, there's nothing wrong with you know, sapphic and all that kind of stuff. So that's been a real joy to discover as we've gone.
Us to step outside our like our box of comfort and really read a vast variety and diverse book. Well, in many ways, like not necessarily just the author, but like the style of book that we read as well. Because like diversity, yes, it goes towards like the author that's writing it, but it's also this the type of book that you're reading. Like, we're not reading just one type of book. We're reading the contemporary, we're reading the rom-com, we're reading the mafia, we're reading the male males, the female
The
females, the
monsters, the aliens. I mean, and to be honest, like, someone will pose, we'll be in Discord. Like, after, I think it was the first time we were doing the Sip and Discuss month of May, Gretchen was asking questions, and she said, you know, are any of them authors of color or something to that effect? And I'm like, you know what?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. But we've been really like cognizant of that going
We
forward.
didn't think about that, but then it was like, okay, now that's in our checklist, and we make sure that we are equally, you know, covering as much as we can. And that's also part of the thing. We only have so many episodes.
Well, and it makes it really hard because there are a lot of authors and a lot of books, and especially with the indie boom, like there's so many, and it's hard to cover all the bases, especially like when we really want to talk about some of the books and the authors that we've loved forever. And so it's like we want to showcase our favorites, but we want to also give those new authors and those new books like the same love and like generosity that we give to like our standbys. But it's hard, sometimes it's hard for us to find that balance.
So do you have a favorite quick shot book that we've read and talked about?
No, because I don't have a favorite book.
I mean, same. Oh, I do want to mention, I think one of my made it moment in the podcast was Julie Garwood and Beverly Jenkins. Like, I sent her a web note, like off her website, and she was like, yes, I want to come on your show. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. I mean, Beverly Jenkins and Julie Garwood? Yes, please. That Julie Garwood episode, I still kind of laugh and chuckle about.
She was wonderful and like so gracious and like so open, and the fact that she's like, Leah, did you fall asleep?
Are you still with
Like,
us?
I am just here for Becky to make sure that Becky does not get like out of control.
Right.
But I think that's one of those things, like Julie Garwood was one of those authors who like she really was about the reader. Like she wanted to talk about her craft and tell us like the good and the bad. And
But I
she
think we've
just
even found that with some of the contemporary authors, indie authors that are right. Like, I think of like putting Krista Sandor and Erin Nicholas together. We knew the moment we put those two together that everyone kept saying, like, why are you even in that episode?
Well, but it was like we knew that chaos was going to reign, but we wanted to see it unfold, and just bringing these two like dynamic people together who just love what they're doing. Not that they don't have their moments where they don't love it, but like they
Sure.
really love what they're doing. But it's the fact that like when we brought Carrie Ann Ryan and Melanie Mollman together,
Right?
it's like two authors who like kind of are on the periphery of each other, but they didn't make that contact. And like, we did that for them.
We did do that for him.
And
I also think
both times it just went left.
one of the other great things I've gotten to do is, like, I have found authors on their debut. Lindo Forbes. You know, we offered an author spotlight because we had stopped kind of doing them. So I started offering them as part of fundraisers for different things. And she bought the one we offered up for the people of Maui and the Maui fires. And, you know, I got to read her book as the debut, and she did that. And then she came to readathon, and she's going to do Summer Slumber Party with us, and we'll get to celebrate her next book together. And as we go through all of this, I think I got this small little piece in her journey of debuting and being an author. And I just feel like a kinship. I mean, these are not my books. I did not work on these books. I did not work on these stories. But I got to be just a little bit of a help for other people to find these amazing stories that are just beautiful. And it just, you know, I'm like, yeah, look what I did. Not that it was much of anything. I read a
No,
book.
but it's one of those things where it's like you had this tiny part in her initial success. Because like we might just be a blip in the on the radar, and we understand that, but that little blip like maybe gave her the confidence that, which I mean, I don't know, I'm talking to my ass at this point, but maybe that little blip like gave her the confidence that like this is possible. Like these people wanted to talk to me about what I read. It must not be that bad.
Well, then, there are other authors, that we've met along the way that their books were really helpful to us in times that we were struggling, right? Like, I read all of Kelly Jameson and all of Sawyer Bennett's books as my child was ill. Like, we couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. And those books were such an escape, and they got me through so many moments. And now those women are my friends. These are women that, I talk to almost daily. And it's like, okay, this is pretty awesome. Like, this book world is pretty great.
Well, and that's one of the crazy things too. So like I have Facebook. I don't really use Facebook a lot, but on my birthday and Facebook, it's like all these people from like from high school and like college and like it's like happy birthday, and then it's like you get Susan Stoker saying happy birthday or Samantha Chase saying happy birthday. And it's like friend, family, friend, USA Today best-selling author. Like it's just such a bizarre world that we live in at
It is.
times.
Well, and then I think of author, Danica Flynn. It was a random Instagram question that she asked looking for a beta reader. Okay. Yeah, sure, sister, I can help you along. And she's at what now? 10 books?
Something like that.
I mean, hello, I started in the beginning. 10 books. Kelly Kay is another one. Like,
Ah,
what?
Kelly and her chaos.
But there's been so many like that. Mimi Kinley Books. She sent me a message. She's like, "What do you think if I wrote this quick, flirty, sexy novella?" And I'm like,
Yes,
"Do it.
please.
Do it. We've loved
You're like, we
them."
will read those, all of
Yeah.
those.
So that's one of the best things that we love about this endeavor is the connections we made. What is
Well,
one
but
of
even the community that we've created and the friends that we have gained, like
The community is 10 out of 10 the best part.
I probably never would have met 90% of the people that like in the community had it not been for the
Well,
podcast.
and how many of us have said throughout our life, I don't have any real life romance reader friends? Well, you've got romance reader friends, and we're real, so real life.
Yes. Maybe just not local.
They might not be local. What is your least favorite part of this endeavor? I know what mine is.
Sometimes it can be overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming, and there are times where I'm like, I mean, Leah's seen the tears, where I'm like, I give up, I quit, this isn't working, I don't think people like this anymore. Like, the doubt, the self-doubt comes in a lot. Like, I'm not sure I can manage people. Susie brings up Ophelia and her cultural awareness that she brings us, and so true, so true. But what, yeah, the one of the least things, sometimes it does feel overwhelming.
Well, and also like when we pick an episode and like we stick to those episodes, like and if we're in a slump or not feeling that episode, but like we've committed, so it's like do we come across as like we're not as into this one? Like because I'm not, but I still like want to like be all in and like share all this stuff. And it's sometimes it's a lot between like life and podcasts and all that stuff. But at the same time, like it is worth it in the end. It gets to be,
It does. It gets to be a little
well, and we're
overwhelming.
emotionally attached to it, which is part of it. So it's like when bad things are like, not that bad things happen at the pause in the podcast, but it's like when things are numbers are down or like listens are down or like we're just
Or
it's
we
just
get a
very
bad
like
review. I mean, I know reviews are not for us, but they kind of are because it's feedback for what we're doing on the podcast.
right. So it's that double-edged sword there, but it's like it can be a little disconcerting like if we really made an effort with an episode and it doesn't do well at all. And it's like, oh man, like we really thought that this one was going to be like a standout and it wasn't.
And it wasn't. Okay. this person, and I forgot to write who down who it was. I think it might be Stacy. She would like to know how we pick the books that nobody has read yet or from an author that someone has already wrecked. Like, how do we go about picking those books, Leah? Because contrary to popular belief, Becky often doesn't pick the books.
Honestly, sometimes it is as easy as going to your Kindle app and like scrolling. Like when you go into your Kindle app and you go into the Discover and you just start scrolling to the side and you come across like a cover and you're like, ooh, I really like that cover. Sometimes it is as simple as that. Other times it's like we are trolling Instagram and like come across somebody who's talking about a book and we're like, that might be a good one to read.
The other part of it is too, is I do, because of working in publishing, I spend a lot of time reading about the trends. I do have connections to agents and to publishers and to their publicists. And oftentimes publicists, at least for the big five publishing companies, rarely do I get indie pitches. But I do get a ton of pitches from the trad pub, because that's part of their job to pitch their authors to media. And podcasting is considered a media, just like you would do for a news outlet. So they will pitch us their authors. And sometimes it's a matter of maybe like just reading the blurb, maybe some initial contact with the author. Sometimes it can be as simple as, okay, well, I've seen a couple people talk about this, or I know the publisher paid X, Y, and Z amount of money for this book. This is, you know, there's got to be something in this. Sometimes they let down and we're like, huh, well, that didn't work. And other times we're like, okay, but we also use like the Amazon top 100 chart. You know, we look at that. We have an episode coming up actually where we're going to take, I've been collecting data for the last 5 weeks, I think, what books have been sitting in the top 20, 25 on Amazon that are romance books. And we're going to give you alternate or other, you know, titles that would be similar that we think you would like too.
Well, Jenny says someone throws out a title and someone else has it in their TBR.
Yeah. But oftentimes too, I get listeners in my DMs, like, have you read this author? Or it could be a group chat type thing. Like, you know, Carrie will often send me a message like, hey, have you read this author? Nope, I haven't. But I can't, but I will. Or I send a message to Jenny and say, hey, came across this. Everything I'm seeing says this is a Jenny book. Will you please read this? And then she's three books in waiting for the next one to drop and is mad at me, which that's, but if you guys tell us this is on your radar, like, what was the last one? Jen Ellen dropped something. She was like, this was bonkers. It was a ride.
The Neva Alta stuff. Didn't she read those first?
I don't know. No, I found that one because of the ballet dancer single dad.
Oh, that's right.
So, no, there was somebody else she dropped. And I was like, oh, well, we'll check it out. For us, at least for Leah and I, I'm not a big blurb reader, which we all know. A good man cover, a wander on a man cover. I mean, yes, please.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, like some of the authors that I follow will talk about books that they have read. Like I read Zoe Draven because Susan Stoker recommended it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I like the authors that I follow, if they're talking about the books that they really enjoy, like a lot of times, like I'll find it from them. And it's like, if I trust them enough to read their books, like I think I'll trust them enough to read books that they like. And it doesn't always work. Like there's been some books and authors that I've found that way. And I'm like, eh, it's not bad. It's just not for me. Cause I just, there was something about the story I didn't like, but.
And I think it was Jenna who told me about Balloon Animal Shifters. And I'm like, no, Jenna. And she's like, yeah, Becky. And I'm like, okay. You know, and next thing we know, we're reading about door shifters.
I told one of my friends tonight at the swim meet, we were timing together. And she was like telling me about the romance book that she just finished. Because she actually just finished Krista's Bergen Brothers series. And she's like, well, I'm reading this one. I was like, and it was a shifter. I was like, ooh, did you know there's a Kool-Aid shifter coming out? She's like, what? I'm like, trust me, I'll send it to you when she comes out. And she's like, okay. But I give her all these book recs and she's like, I'll read that.
I'll read that. Yeah, and
Susie
sometimes,
says author
yeah.
newsletters. Yeah.
Okay, so what is your favorite and least favorite book trends of this year so far?
Writing to trend and writing vibes.
So I am over th no third act breakup and vibes over context and content. The other thing that I have to say, though, one of the things that we decided as contributors coming into 2024, because at the end of 2023, many of us were starting this book slump. Like we, September, October came in and we loved like Knock Down the Block and, you know, we were seeing some really great books coming out, but we were all starting to go, huh, okay. We weren't loving where things were going, right? We kind of had been over cowboys, but we were still in the dark era, which we'd been in the dark era for most of 2023.
Yeah, we were there for a while.
I think that going into 2024, we all had a really big talk and decided we weren't going to chase the trendy books this year. Now,
Well, and also the overly long books are not really for us either.
no.
And so that is one of the like trends that I have hated this year. It's like, don't give me a 500 page book when you can give me a solid, concise, better story in 350 pages.
Now, one of the things, it's not a ton, I'm not seeing it a ton, but one of the things that I am seeing and loving is I am finding a lot more diverse authors to read. I've read Christina C. Jones this year. I found Alexandria House this year. I'm really excited for Gabrielle, I think it's Gomez, maybe.
Gomez, I think.
I'm really excited for us to read that in August.
Well, we
There's
found Leonore Solis this year.
no, Leonore was 2 years
Was she
ago.
last year?
Two years ago.
Oh,
Two
I didn't
years
think
ago.
she was that long ago.
We've been friends with her for 2 years now, Leah.
Has it been 2 years? I thought it was just like,
No,
I thought it was
tears.
last year.
It's okay.
See, all the time blends together.
You know, and so I do like that I am seeing more of those books, but I'm also making a bigger effort to find those books. Oh, one of the trends I am hating this year, hating it, and that is duet, full cast narration. I hate it.
It depends on the book for me.
I like dual narration. I like the dude's chapter and the female chapter or the female chapter. You know,
Yeah,
I don't
I
mind two audio
100%,
narrators, but I do
it
not
depends
want
on the
them on the
book
page
because,
together.
but Erin Nicole, like Erin Nicholas's like first royal book, did it in duet. It worked really well. I was listening to one recently and it was duet and I could not stand it.
That Megan Quinn was duet, that,
Oh, the Sadie Kincaid,
yeah,
the Karis, that
Karis,
was duet.
that was duet. We couldn't figure out
But it was
what.
actually three, I mean, it was three people, but still technically duet.
I don't like that. And everybody wants it. They're demanding it. And it's more expensive, and I don't love it.
I don't love it always. Sometimes I enjoy it, though. I think
So,
if it's done well, then it's very good, but it's hard to do it really well.
Okay, favorite or least favorite trend since we started the podcast. This is the thing that I hate the most since we started the podcast. So in 2020, PR boxes, book mail, like these elaborate gifts to book influencers, that was not really a thing, and it didn't start till the end of 2020, 2021. It was a slow movement as TikTok, BookTok really kind of grew, and the pressure that authors feel to put together these elaborate book boxes.
Well, but also like the people that they think they have to give them to also.
Who aren't really reading their books. There are people that get mail, like so much mail, that they'll do an episode like, here's all my book, or they'll do a TikTok, here's all my book mail for the week. And they haven't even read any of the books, and
Well,
they
they
don't
haven't
even.
even read the author.
And it's like, I feel like the authors feel pressure to send them to these people for a 5 second flip up. And when, we are offered, I particularly am offered PR boxes pretty often or book mail from publishers fairly often. And a lot of times I decline, not because I'm not going to read the book or not because I don't want the author to have a chance for promo, but I don't necessarily have space for more stuff. But also, like, I'm not going to, it's not necessarily, it might be one that I'm going to read down the line, but it's not one that I'm going to say, hey, this has to be
You're
a
not
sip and discuss.
clamoring to
Well,
read it.
and I'm not going to push it to the forefront of our stuff either. But yeah, like, I think there are some authors that I kind of lost respect for because the PR firm that they do pretty much demands every release they send out paperbacks to their top tier influencers. And there was an author that I loved her book. We did stuff with her to celebrate her release. And then, like, the next day I was on TikTok and a girl's like, oh, I got this paperback in the mail. Isn't this cute? I think it's on my Kindle. I might have to get to read that. And I thought, oh, my freaking God. Like, why are you sending it to those? So that is a trend that I don't like.
The lack of faces on an illustrated cover and the lack of care when illustrated covers are created. Also, like we came across an illustrated cover the other day that Carrie shared with us, and no joke, like you don't know where his hands are. Where his hand is,
And
it's in
Jenny's his
Jenny's
pants.
pants.
Jenny's his pants.
It's Jenny's his pants, but also like the faces, like the chin is really elongated. Like no jokes, looks like the heroine is a succubus, like eating this guy's face. Like there's just, I'd like an illustrated cover, but you have to, like, it has to be done well, and like, don't just pay anybody to do it. And like you, like if you're paying for an illustrated cover, you have the right to veto something. Like you can say, I don't like this part. I would like you to redo it because you're paying for a service. Like you can say no,
Yeah.
but also we need
We
faces.
do need faces. Is there an episode you listen to again and again, or do you listen at all once it's recorded?
I don't listen to episodes the whole way through, especially if I'm on them, because the sound of my own voice makes me want to like stab myself.
So I actually listen to the episode that night or the next day, as recorded. It started off that I just was checking to make sure that like it downloaded correctly and that
And
it
it
sounded
sounded okay.
okay, or was there an annoying, like, sometimes Heather's hair will get a little long, so is it brushing the mic? Can we hear that? So I will listen to every episode at least within that week. Okay, so the episodes I've gone back to listen to, can you guess? Can you guess which one I've listened to multiple times?
Julie Garwood.
Yes. Because it's freaking Julie Garwood.
It is, and she was amazing. But yeah, I hate the sound of my voice. And so like I'll listen to full episodes if I'm not on it. But if I'm on the episode, I just kind of like skip through it just to make sure it sounds okay to me.
Okay, what is the one trope you hope takes over the book world but is totally underrated right now?
Marriage in crisis.
Okay, that's a good one, but I do think we see marriage or relationship in crisis. Kind of.
Now we see relationships in crisis, but we do not see like a true,
True marriage.
honest and true marriage in crisis story.
Okay.
Those are my favorites,
But they're hard to
but
do.
they are hard to do. But Marie Johnston does them well,
She does.
friends. So if you need to read one, read hers.
Sawyer Bennett does some really well too.
She does, yes.
Okay. Wake Up Married in Vegas. I need 75,000 of these
Yes.
books
Those are
because they can
a
work
good
for
one.
mafia, they can work for a rom-com, they can work for a
Well, that's the thing. Like
contemporary, a rock
it can
star,
cover pretty much
sports,
any
like
subgenre.
I love them all. What I really need is Carrie Ann Ryan, or Carrie Ann Ryan has some, Carrie Elks to write me some.
Oh, she doesn't have a Wake Up Married yet? All
No.
right, Carrie Elks, if you're listening, this
Yeah.
is your test. Can you do this for us?
Okay, what inspired your start to the Buzzing About Romance podcast and how has it evolved over time? We talked about how it evolved, but what inspired the start was in 2010 when it was announced that Shonda Rhimes bought the rights to Bridgerton. I was deep in my podcast era. Like that was the serial stuff was happening. No, I guess Serial wasn't till after that. Serial wasn't till 2014, 15. I don't know. I was deep into my podcast era and I just thought, oh my God, wouldn't it be
Which is
so
funny because they really were just starting to gain traction in like 2010.
But I was like, wouldn't it be really cool if we did a podcast and talked about each book and compared it? Because I just thought like each book was going to get an episode.
Oh, good God. Could you imagine if we did that now?
No, we're not doing that now. I quit that. But yeah, that's how
There'd
it
be a lot of
started.
rage. So much.
And then 2000 or 2020 happened, and Mike was like, "Hey, you know that podcast you want to start?"
We're not leaving the house anytime soon. Why don't you?
So that's where it went. Well, and I had been working in the book world for a while at that point, and I saw the need because there are tons of other bookish podcasts out there, but at the time there wasn't really anyone focused on indie books. And the most popular ones were really focused on trad pub books and were done by authors. And we, neither one of us, and the person that I started with, were not authors. We were just readers. So it was an authentic reading experience. Okay, can you share your top three favorite romance novels of all time and why they hold a special place in your heart?
Good God, no. I don't have three favorites.
You don't have three top favorites, like three books you would read over and over and over again?
I have like 10 to
Pick three.
15. I can't pick three. That's really hard.
Well, I'm telling you to pick three. I'll do my three and why you think, okay?
Okay.
Whitney, My Love by Judith McNaught.
It's one of the first ones you've ever read.
One of the first, yep. The Raider by Jude Devereaux.
Okay.
And Contemporary. And we just read it. Bet Me by Jennifer Crusie.
That is a really good one.
Because it was the first book with a plus size fat heroine where she talks about her thick thighs and her curvy hips and that, her mother was a little bit of a trash person. And I felt seen in a romance.
That's a really good reason.
So what are yours?
Oh, this is a tough question. Okay. Drake by Sawyer Bennett, because he is a delightful asshole
He's
and
a
I love an
delightful.
asshole. But it's just also like he's so protective of his kids. And I just really enjoy that aspect of it. But his, like, Brienne is like, she's a strong heroine. She's a badass boss bitch who, like, she does not need somebody to care for her. Like, she just, well, she wants somebody to care for her, but she does not need people to be there for her. Let's see. Oh. Hold Me Today by Maria Lewis. Sister's Best Friend, one of my favorite books. I have reread that book multiple times. And I know some people don't love it as much as me, but there's just something really wonderful about Nick and Mina's relationship. And like, Mina is dyslexic and like, she's very lost, but not lost at the same time. And I just love the way in which that like story like plays out. And then I would have to say, because I can't remember romances that I read 20 years ago, so I'd have to say King's Queen by Marie Johnston, because it is one of the best, like the best marriage and crisis books I've ever read. And it's one of those ones where like it's not just the hero who needs to change or the heroine that needs to change, like as like they go through this crisis of like relationship, like they both realize that maybe like it wasn't all him or it wasn't all her. Not that he thought it was her at all, like, but they both recognize like they need to make changes to the way they live their lives together and apart, like in their relationship, in order to like be able to move forward.
Those are all good choices.
Thank you.
Look at
That was a
you.
really tough one.
Can you share your, oh, what's the most surprising or unexpected thing you learned about romance authors through podcast interviews?
They're just as crazy as we are.
It's the thing about like voices talking to them. Like
Like Delta, like when she, yeah.
I never thought about the actual writing process. I just thought people like,
Just wrote words down.
just wrote words
I
down.
just the fact that there's such a process, and like everybody has a different process, but yeah, the voice is speaking to them. I'm like,
Someone asked, what advice would you give to someone looking to start their own book-related podcast? Don't do it.
Oh, fucking work.
It's, you know, it's a lot of work. Let's see here. How do you balance reading for pleasure with reading for the podcast, especially when you have a tight turnaround schedule?
I always read for the podcast like the day before, and I'm very fortunate that I can read quite fast. And so, like, Sip and Discuss books, if I haven't read it previously, I read it Tuesday night.
And I read it a week before and make lots of notes in my book. I will say that in the last year, my reading has slowed down. I don't read as many books as I was reading previous,
Yeah, I definitely don't.
because my work schedule has gotten so much, busier, which is great for me because, money.
Well, but also like we hit a point where it was like I think there was like a good couple months where we didn't read anything that was really good, which I hate to say that, but like we had a couple really good books, but they were from authors that like we knew could deliver, and so like we didn't doubt that, but like every new book that we tried was disappointing. But it's sometimes it's hard to balance the reading for pleasure versus the reading for the podcast. So, which is the one reason like we did switch the way we do some of the episodes too, because then we could read books that we wanted to talk about and we weren't like beholden to like this stringent schedule.
How do you decide which books or authors to feature on the podcast and what criteria to use? So, first of all, if you are an author listening to this, one of the first things we say, thank you for listening to the podcast, because that lets us know if you are listening to the podcast, if you're engaging with the podcast, that tells us you understand our type of crazy. The next piece is it's a lot of it is from our community. Stacy, Gloria, Jenny, somebody, Susie. They'll send us a message and say, okay, like, we really love this book. We should read this. Or we'll do something and someone will say, oh, I was at this signing and I met this person. They would be a great fit for the podcast. I think after Gretchen went to Steamy LitCon last summer, I had tons of emails from authors that were like, hey, I met Gretchen and she thinks that I might like your podcast. And my response back is, oh my God, we're so excited. Thank you. Listen to the podcast. Make sure our crazy is your crazy because we are not
Because we are
everyone.
not for everybody.
And
Also, some of it is authors that we send messages to message us back, and some authors we send messages to do not message us back. So, I mean, that kind of clears the field for others.
But also, if we see our community talking about a book, if we see, our author friends talking about a book, we do put that onto our TBRs. But there's a contact form on our website for authors and for listeners. So if you have a book, you can find our email or you can send us a contact on the website and we do add them to our TBR. We get through them. Sometimes we're like, yep, we could do a whole episode and talk about this book. And sometimes it's like, no. And there have been times we've broken up with favorite authors, right?
Oh yeah.
I had to take Avery Flynn and I were on a break for a while.
I mean, there's authors that like we take breaks and then we go back and then we either fully sever ties or we are like, oh, like they've kind of got their like writing mojo back. So like we're gonna stick together for a little bit longer.
But we don't really have a criteria. Usually, if Becky wants to read it, nobody else does, and then we never read it.
That is not true. There are some books that Becky wants to read, and you tell Lindsay to read it, and then everybody has to read it.
This is true. Lindsay's great at reading what I want.
Honestly, Lindsay, no joke, told like four different authors at the signing over the weekend, Leah made me read your books, and now I love them. And I was like, you're welcome. Like, why are you, like, why?
But to
But
be honest,
also, I am your tour guide. Of course, I need to read these books.
I found Melanie Moreland because of Jenny. So, I mean, we're on this. What are your future goals for buzzing about romance, and are there any exciting projects or episodes we can look forward to?
I mean, who knows?
I don't
I mean,
know.
we've kind of readapted everything so far, and that's been like the goal right now is to like readjust and kind of fall back in love with the podcast.
I really love the way Sips and Discuss are going. We will,
Jenny says, and all you got was a
and
t-shirt.
all I got was a t-shirt. We will absolutely, ever be evolving. Like, if you have books you think should be on our radar for Sips and Discuss, you know, send it in to us. We kind of have loose themes. Sometimes we're like, let's just wing it.
Well, sometimes like we start with a theme, but then like a book is just like not good, so we have to pivot, and that's the thing. Like we try and keep things similar, but it doesn't always work out right.
We're also trying to diversify the authors that we talk about. Like, we could do a Susan Stoker and a Sawyer Bennett book every month, but y'all would get bored. But we can do like books that might be similar, or, you know, similar tropes and stuff like that. So that's what we're trying to do. Do you have a top read for 2024 so far? Like, 6 months have happened. Do you have a favorite book you've read this year so far?
No, it's been a rough reading year. Like I've had books that have like been standout books, but like I can't say that like I have read anything that like I couldn't stop talking about.
I think the newest book from Aurora Rose Reynolds, The Before We Fall.
That one was very good, yes.
And I would
No,
also,
Before This
or
Ends.
Before This Ends.
Yeah, Before We Fall was the first one, I think. Before This Ends was book
So
two.
Before This Ends.
Like that was an excellent book and excellently written.
Birthday Card Boyfriend by Christa Sandor was really good. Erin Nicholas's Reluctantly Royal was very good.
And that's the thing, like we've read a lot of good books this year, but every once in a while there will be a book that like it just lives rent-free and like we can't not talk about it. And like everybody we know has to read it. And I don't feel like I've gotten that yet this year.
I
Like
haven't.
I have books that like I've really, really enjoyed, but it's just one of
Melanie
those things.
Moreland's Men of the Falls is really good. But yeah, I'm kind of at a loss. I don't necessarily have a top read yet.
Well, and so like I went back into like Rebecca Sharpland, and I've really enjoyed being in
Oh, I
there.
do
And
like
Layla
those books.
Frost, like her book two in the Black Resorts was excellent, and I loved it. And it's just, but again, it's one of those things like, these are authors that I trust and like I'm going to enjoy them. But yeah, I don't have that. Oh my God, like
Everybody read this book moment.
everybody read this book. Like I cannot get over it like I've had in past years.
Fair, fair.
But it's only July 1st.
It is only July 1st. And we are going to start randomly dropping some author spotlights to the website and into the podcast feed. So make sure you stay up to date on our newsletter and check out the website often for all that kind of stuff. Okay, that ends our Ask Us, Ask Me Anything.
I know, well, because when I kept coming to the AMA, I was like, but it's ask us anything. But I was like, what does the M mean? Like, it didn't click for the longest time.
Because AUA just sounds, you know.
Well, that's like, as I said, and I was like, that's not right. Like, but I could not figure out. I just had a moment, friends. I had a moment.
Okay, well, guess what time it is, Leah? Have your
It's
moment.
that time
It's that time.
for Book
Book
of
of
the
the Week. It's Book of the Week
Week.
time.
I am happy we added this section too, by the way.
Yeah, this was not in the original format. We used to just randomly list books that we're releasing for the next week, and
Yeah,
that got old.
it did. So, what's your Book of the Week?
My book of the week is Strung Along by Hannah Cohen. It is a Kindle Unlimited book. It is a small town meets hometown rock star, curvy heroine. She walks in on her, well, now ex-fiance, banging another lady. And
that's never fun.
She sprays them down with the fire extinguisher she picked up because she thought he was hurt or thought that somebody was breaking into the house or something.
Oh.
And it was on her birthday that she caught them.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. But she is the sister of the heroine from the first book, Her Greatest Mistake. And so this book starts out, she's moved to the small town of Cherry Creek, and she randomly sends a text of her and a dress that she's supposed to be wearing to a black tie wedding to this random number that happens to belong to a grumpy cowboy rock star who also lives in the small town.
I can get behind that.
It's pretty stinking good.
Because I do enjoy like an accidental texting book.
Me too.
Or like an accidental phone call.
And I will say Hannah Cohen does Curvy Heroine amazingly well. So if you haven't read her yet, Her Greatest Mistake was phenomenal. Teddy Hamilton does that audiobook. It was so good. But I'm really loving Strung Along. She's a beautician and kind of escaped to the small town away from British Columbia. And this is Hannah is also a Canadian author writing Canadian small town or Canadian romances, like which I love. What's your book of the week, Leah?
My book of the week is Love Him Like Water by Jessica Gadziala. So my friend has been telling me that I need to read her, and I just had not had a moment. I was like, I need something to read. So it's arranged marriage, mafia, age gap. The hero is a bit of an asshole. And like, honestly, about 85% of the way through the book, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But I really did enjoy the way that the author brought the story together at the end, and like there were still like those moments where I'm like, do I like him or is he still an asshole? But we all know I love an asshole.
I was gonna say,
but I did. It was really good. It was a great first read. It's actually a second gen book. So yeah, and I'm excited to like, she has a fairly significant backlist, but she's a KU author, so I'm really excited to like dive into like her backlist. So
awesome. Okay, it's Patreon update.
Patreon update.
Celebrating 1 year in the Hive are Stacy and Maud in the month of July. Thank you for supporting us. And then 2 years in the Hive is Danielle. And we appreciate all of you so much for joining us. Did you know we have a free tier on Patreon? We frequently make announcements, share early details there before posting on social media. If you participate in our reading challenges or events, participation stickers will be exclusive to Patreon members, including the free tier. For authors, it's a fantastic way to stay informed about upcoming events, opportunities to participate. Callouts for event participation will be offered to followers there first. So, like, we have the Summer Slumber Party. I put it up on our Patreon on the free tier first so everybody could see it. And when the space didn't fill, I then offered it out. Going forward, it will only be offered on our Patreon tier. So if you're not part of that even free tier, then you should absolutely join. It doesn't do any harm. Anyway, swag packs will be headed out by the 10th of this month. I'm so excited to share our swag packs.
Or what?
I am excited to share our swag pack sponsoring authors for July, Elaine Trommel, Sienna Snow, and Sarah Bale. Swag packs go out to Fancy Drinks, Cold Brew, and Queen Bee Tears, and we still have fun buzzing about romance exclusive stickers, mood reading cards, and other fun things. They are mailed monthly around the 10th of the month, and we ship these internationally. This perk is mailed once monthly. If you join after the 10th, the first swag pack will be in the mail the following month. All members of Patreon, though, get all paid members of Patreon get exclusive episodes along with perks like Buzzing Book Club. And this month, our Buzzing Book Club author is Catherine Nolan, and we are reading her contribution to the Blue Water Billionaire series.
Yes.
Wild Open Hearts.
Yeah.
And then you can find a list of all our events at bookcaseandcoffee.com/events, including happy hours. book
Not so
clubs.
much the happy hours anymore.
Yeah. I made an announcement this week over the weekend that we are phasing out happy hours and IG lives, moving towards author spotlights, but there's also going to be more book clubs and we're going to do more stuff in Discord. So make sure, you know, sign up for the newsletter. You'll learn all the things.
And we are being fairly good about sending that weekly. So
yes. So that's a wrap on today's episode of Buzzing About Romance. We want to extend our deepest gratitude to all of our listeners and supporters. I thought about sitting here and listing all of our Patreon members, but I need to figure out a way to do this that, like, each episode I kind of talk about our featured Patreon members. Because you all, your enthusiasm and love for romance novels make this journey truly special. Without Patreon, this doesn't happen.
No.
Because everything that we get in Patreon, I use to fund the podcast, to pay for equipment and software and all those, and the website. The website costs money.
This is a free gig.
It's a free gig.
If you don't know.
Nobody makes any money. A huge thank you to all of our amazing authors and contributors who have joined us on the podcast throughout the years. Your stories and insight inspire and entertain us week after week. We couldn't do this without you. Special thanks to Mike for his invaluable tech support. Your expertise keeps our podcast running smoothly. And
also for keeping us on the straight and narrow sometimes.
And thanks for taking us to all the fun places. lastly, I would like to thank the incredible partners who have supported us. And by partners, I mean everyone's spouses and families who have supported us along the way. Your contributions have meant the world to us. Each week, I ask all of these wonderful humans to take an hour to an hour and a half away from their family, sometimes 2.5 hours, and hang out with me and talk about books. And that means everything. Thank you to you, the listeners. And really, our amazing contributors. I don't know what I would do without the group chat.
The chat may never, ever be seen by anybody.
Never. Oh, you will never see
it
screenshots.
It is a scary place sometimes.
Sometimes it's random, so random.
Well, and it just depends on the week, like what kind of kick we get on. But then we find it in our Facebook feeds.
Right.
So we question a lot of things.
Make sure you join us back here next Sunday for our episode. Don't forget, we're off this Wednesday because of the 4th of July holiday. But make sure you're back here next Sunday for our episode. We are going to give you all the beachy summer reads. So if you're like, we're hitting the heat of the summer, it's dog days of summer, and you want to know what books you should be taking to the beach, we're going to give you a list next Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know how beachy mine are going to be, but it's just a list of things that people need to read.
Okay. And then there's Leah's. Next Wednesday, July 10th, we'll be back for our discussion of When I Had You by S.L. Scott. And I did start this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spicy. Don't forget to follow us on social media for updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts over on our Discord. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share this episode with your friends and other book-loving peoples. Your support helps us bring more exciting content to you every week. So, Leah, thanks for hanging out with me. Thank you for your commitment for the last, 4 years.
Thank you for saying, hey, Leah. Would you like to do this with me?
You're welcome. And again, thank you to all the other contributors. I know it was just Leah and I tonight, but thank you to Heather and Lindsay and Jenny and Amanda and then past contributors, Carolina and Rachel, for hanging out on this journey.
This could not happen without all of us.
No, it's too much for just two people or even one person to do.
Yeah.
So that's it for tonight. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.